I enjoy life. It's not the money. You read in the paper what they said about me. And so, by giving Megan's away, started at 5 cents a day in poverty. But when God wanted to brag about someone who gave money, a bunch of millionaire Jews throwing the money in, and there's a woman walked up that's had two mites, a widow woman, that's all she had. She threw it in, and God said she outgave all those millionaires. There's a lot of you outgive me. It's a bigger sacrifice for you if you make $300-$500 a week. If you bring 10% of that in pay, you just maybe have enough barely get by than for another week's paycheck. But if I wrote you $1 million check today, I've still yet got some more left. And so, therefore, you make a bigger sacrifice than I do. I'm serious about this now. And so, but it just so happened, God, and His mercy and grace, I never sat down one time. I never sat down and begged God, let me become a millionaire. And I'm going to prove it in a minute. I think I will if I get time, about 3 o'clock today, that God blesses you according to what you do for Him. Every person shall receive their own reward according to their own labor. And so, as I already gave you an example, that about the money, we often say, talk, what is a successful person? This is a successful man is a man who makes more money than his wife can spend. And it says a successful woman is the woman that marries that man. Said one time they was having a class reunion, and one big limousine pulled up, and one of the classmates is a 40-year classmate, and so 40th. And here I pulled a big limousine up, the woman got out with diamonds on and high heels and fur coats. And they said, well, we'd like you to dress us. Tell us, look to me like you have success. Yes, you should have been very successful. Said, what do you mean you've been successful? She said, I've been married 4 times. Said, that's success? Said, yeah, well, tell us what. Well, I said, the first time I married a millionaire. The second time I married a movie star. The third time I married an undertaker. And the fourth time I married a Baptist preacher. They said, how is that success? How is it success? He said, well, when I married a millionaire, that's one for the money, a movie star, two for a show. I married an undertaker, 3 to get ready, and 4 to go. So I guess no way. By the way, I'm very much impressed. You've been here a year and a half. I've been through all the buildings and all you men. Some of you've got a lot of rewards, a lot of you that I've seen what you've done and what you covered up. And covered up a multitude of sins with plywood and stuff. And I'm really impressed. And you who helped finance this and the work, I'm very much, and then I met with a lot of the people today. There's some good people here. I'd love to have them. And so I met with one lady yesterday, and I said, if you were 70 years old and single, I'd marry you today. I could take and make another million. She got a head full of sense. And so... I'm very proud of them. And so, today being Mother's Day, I have to say something, not the whole message about it. I thought about it and bringing it. And so, since it's Mother's Day, and so I like to recognize them. I heard about a boy and a girl who got married, and they'd been married about 6 months, and one morning he didn't like her biscuits. He said, I wish you'd learn to make biscuits like my mama does. She sprouted back and she said, I like you to learn to make dough like Papa does. And if you ever go to college, the two best books that you can have, you know the two best books? It's Mama's pocketbook and Daddy's checkbook. And so, but anyway, about your mother. Now I have a question. How many people's their mothers in here today? Would you raise your hand? Your mom was in here today now. All right. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you love your mama? When's the last time you told her? They said love that is not expressed is not love at all. So that thing goes to Jesus too. When last time you told him, I told him this morning I loved him. I told God, I said, God, I'm going out there to talk after a while. Now, Holy Spirit of God, you got to tell me what to say. I'd be a fool if I tried to get up here and tell you what I've done. I'm telling you what God did through an uneducated man that taught him the Sunday school. And so, when's the last time you told your mother that you loved her? Is your mother going to go to heaven? Is she saved? If not, if she's not, what are you doing about it? If the house your mother's living in, if it's on fire, and you pass by the house at 2 o'clock in the morning, would you break the doors down and get her out, rescue her out of the house? Yeah. Now God's going to, if you're not saved, God, that there's two places to go. When you die, either heaven or hell. Said the rich man died, was buried, and in hell, not even a period, he died, was buried, and in hell left of his eyes, that's semicolon. Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, may tip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented. And so now, in the coal mines, many a time I've drank all my water, we have a dinner bucket. It was a round up, this one apartment comes up where you put your sandwiches and dessert, or whatever, and apples, whatever you have up here and down here. It holds almost a gallon of water. I've seen the time I'd run out of water, two or three, after I'd been working 3 or 4 hours. Oh, I'd get so thirsty. But I never did. I wanted a gallon of water. I never wished just one drop. That's what hell's going to be like. Now, there's your mother. When I got saved in 1959, I was the first one in my family was saved. There wasn't a Christian on either part of the family. And so I heard Dr. Rice and Dr. John R. Rice tell me it's our responsibility to see if we get our people to hear the gospel. And I began to take my car and take my relatives, uncles, two uncles, alcoholics, one of them was, and three aunts and cousins. I saw 11 of them saved in 6 weeks. You, how you do that? Let me tell you, let me give you an illustration how I got them to get saved. Little boy and girls out in the front yard playing one evening. And the little boy said, I'm hungry. I'm going to go and get mom fix this peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And the little girl said, fine, go ahead. And he went out and he come back in. Mama said, she's going to go fix this one. Said, it's too close to dinner time. That little girl said, I'll show you how to get one. His little sister went in and just a few minutes, she come back out carrying 2 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Her brother said, how'd you get that? She said, I cried for him. How did I get my people saved? I cried for them. I didn't know anything about the gospel. I knew I didn't want my mom to go to hell. And so what I did, I pick her up, take her to church, pick her up and take her to church. The revival started. I'd only been saved just a few weeks. I said, Mom, you got to get saved. I said, now your sister's been saved, your brother-in-law's been saved, and your uncle, your brothers have been saved. And a lot of our cousins and stuff. And I said, now, and my brother, I said, Mama, you got to get saved. No, not. I'd pick her up. My wife and I would be going to get her. Pick her up, take her back to church. No, Mama. I mean, Mama, tonight be a good night. You ought to go and all. I think it was just 2 nights before the revival ended. I took her home and she said, no, not tonight. Don't think I can leave it. Took her out. I told my wife, honey, you go on in, go to bed. I'm gonna pray. I'm gonna ask God to save my mama. And I didn't know John 3:16. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know Psalm 126:6. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seeds, shall doubtless come again. I didn't know that. Didn't know any of the scripture hardly. But they told me I should pray and cry. And I don't know how long I walked and looked up and cried like a baby that God saved my mama. And so then I got behind the garage and buried my knees in the sand there and prayed. And then sometime, I don't know how long it was, what time in the morning, I went in and started reading the Bible in Matthew chapter 5, the Beatitudes. Blessed, I think it's 5:5. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I felt a little peace come over, and I said, well, I've been crying. I went to bed, the next night, I picked my mama up, and I said, Mama, you got to get saved. Not that you're going to come to revival. I don't want you to go to hell. No, not tonight, son. But when the invitation started, she sat on the third row, about right back here, right at the altar. She came and got saved. My mama's in heaven right now. And if she could talk to you, she said, I'm in heaven because my son cried for me. Yes. He that goeth forth, they say a tear is a rope that rings a bell in heaven that gets God's attention. So I cried. So this is Mama's Day. And so I tell you why that you ought to love your mama, why you ought to tell her, but again, you ought to write her a letter. Your boys and girls here, you ought to write your moms and dad a letter at least once a month and thank dad for all the hard work and going to work every day and for you, some, both of you mamas working too, but, my wife was lucky enough. I made enough money to where that she didn't have to work. She quit after about 2 months after we got married. I finally got her to quit work. And so, but anyway, you ought to write him and thank him for the clothes and having a bed. And I tell you why you should. I tell you what Mama did for you. They say a baby, they say approximately 8 times a day you change its diapers. Would you ladies kind of agree that this, I never have counted, but roughly 8 times, but let's say 6 times a day she changed your diapers. If you take 6 times, 365 days a year, that's 2,190 times a year. And if you changed them 2 years, that meant 4,380 times she changed your diaper for you. That's why you ought to love her. Let me go a little bit further. If you're 10 years old and she gave you a clean outfit every day, now baby, sometimes you have to change them 2 or 3 times. Sometimes they have a bowel movement, and they don't know that they're not supposed to run all over their shirts. They got diarrhea and that. You have to give them a bath and change them 2 or 3 times a day. I've been there. And so, but listen to this. Now, the clothes you wear, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to shock you. I'm going to tell you why you ought to write your mother a letter and thank her. See, 365 days a year. And so, if you take that in 10 years, if you're 10 years old, that meant that she has furnished you approximately 11,000 clean outfits. You thought about it. Mama's been, they're nice to have around, aren't they? Beside all the house, all the cook. Okay, let's go down. That's why you ought to write them a letter at least and just thank them for the clothes, the shoes, the food, the bed. And so, and it is Mother's Day, and we ought to. Worship my mother and young people. You ought to thank Mama. You ought to write her a letter. Honest dad and that every day. If I was a child, I'd write him a note and put it on the bed or something like that. Mama would find it during the day. And I also think that a husband ought to write his wife a letter, a love letter, and put it somewhere nowhere seen. You want your favorite meal? You try this. You'd write her a note and say, honey, I don't know what happened to me if I hadn't married you. I'm the luckiest guy in the world to get a wife like you. I said, I've been to the dogs, and I want to just thank you for putting up with me and washing my old stinky socks and underclothes, and you've just been a great wife. You come in at night, she'll have you steak and banana pudding and apple pie and everything else. All right. After she gets up off the floor, she faints when she reads the letter. Now, I'm promoting this mamas now. We ought to. And also, we ought to also today, men, we ought to. When I started speaking, I used to write my wife notes and that and tell her on my wife's funeral, on my wife's tombstone, she died a little 3 years ago, I got a picture of her on there and I said, and on the tombstone, it reads, to the prettiest girl Kentucky ever produced. I dated her. Well, I sent her a dozen roses up in an office. Boy, that scored big. She married me in 90 days. She works in the office group. Every year then, on December the 12th, I get her a dozen roses, and then it got to be 13 years, and then it got to be 20 years, and I get her 20 roses, 25, 30, 35, 40. I got pictures, office, bunch of roses. She said, you're wasting your money. I said, no, you leave me alone. And so, then when it got to be 50, and then 53 or 54, and when she's in the hospital, she had dementia, and was sick for the last 3 or 4 or 5 years. I bought her 2 dozen roses and brought them in, and I said, look here what I got here. Yeah. I said, I'm going to lay them on your chest here where you can smell them. Can you smell them? Yeah. Yeah, she said, they're pretty, and she didn't open her eyes. And she smelled them, and that's the last time there, but when I buried her, I put 2 dozen red roses, and I've got it on my phone. I've got it on my phone here, too. I can show it. I get 2 dozen, and to the nicest and prettiest girl I ever dated. And so my daughters, they love their mother. And I appreciate her and that. And so we ought to do, I just want to spend a little time about mothers. Mothers, clothes and shoes. You imagine 11,000 outfits. And so at least once a month, I wrote that down this morning, Tim. You think about all the meals and changing your diapers all this time. I want you to open your Bibles this morning, 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, I want to take 10 or 15 minutes to honor the mothers. And so, I want to give you this. I'll explain it to you later on. And so, I paid to have that published. And so, 1 Chronicles 28. Now, I have a question for you before I get in. Men, if you was going to die in 30 days, doctor gave you 30 days at the most, what would you say to your wife in 30 days? What would you say to your children? What instructions? Now, we all can't leave the children $1 million, but the one thing we can do, we can leave them a good testimony. Yes. Yeah, that's something inheritance, and as Proverbs chapter 22, you leave a good name, a good reputation. Everybody can do that. But what would you have to say to your wife? What instructions? And how do you know you're going to live another 30 days? So you better live every day like it may be our last day. We ought to examine ourselves. I give myself self-examinations. I think it's, if I can think of Psalm 139, I think it's 28. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in a way of uprightness. In my office back home, I have a light like this. And I put it just as bright as I can, like it, and I shut my eyes. I imagine that's God. Search me, O God, and try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and reveal to me any wicked way in me. And I'll stop. Now, Holy Spirit of God, if I've got some unconfessed sin in my life, I'm going to give myself my own examination. How are we doing, Lord? Can you remind me? Now, I'll confess it if you remind me of anything in my life that I have not confessed. So you give yourself own examination. And that's what we should do. Now, if 30 days, my children, I took them to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I didn't send them. I took them. And so make sure that they're in church. And I lived examples I said in Sunday school. I can tell my children now. If you haven't, that's been done. It's a good thing. No business deal was bigger than Wednesday night service meet. Right. Wednesday night service. See, Wednesday night is normally when the pastor teaches some subject. Let me tell you how the pastor normally gets his messages. Is that he'll be sitting reading the Bible. Suppose I'm a businessman and suppose I start to get run around with the wrong crowd. Run around with the wrong businessmen and stepping out on their wives. You know, you're not supposed to run around with a man unless he's separated. The Bible says you're not even supposed to run around and be your best friend if a man doesn't tithe. He buy his wife's pretty dress and you buy yours. Be tempted. And so, therefore, I want to know who my friends are, you see. And so, to hang around. And so, I'm very careful. About my work, my friends in the church is the working people. I see it, consider myself work. I don't consider myself a lot of money. I live more, 90% of you live higher on the hog and food than I do. I was raised on cornbread, pinto beans, and fried taters. I love them. I eat them every week. I've got them in my condo in my Hawaii. I do my own cooking. I go out on the weekends and I love to take the pastor and his wife out, get her out of the kitchen on Sunday. But I do that, but I don't hardly eat out much. So I don't live high on the hog. Now, I could have my food flown in from London every day if I wanted it, but they don't have anything in London. If they don't know what real eating is. That's good cornbread. How many make good cornbread in an iron skillet? And I do. I make my own now. But anyway, I live very common. I'm very careful with my money except God's work. I can fly first class. Want to? You know what they want? First class ticket from Hawaii to here and back, $4,400. I paid about $1,100, $1,200. I'll send that up $2,800 over to Mexico City and feed a lot of poor people. I'm not going to. I could ride it, but I ride right with you. I rode There's two people here, and I sat here, and another guy here. Come, I'm going to do that tomorrow, going back to Hawaii. I'd be in first class. But praise God, you know what happened to me last Monday? I've been doing this flight, a lot of flight attendants knows me. I sat down my seat last week, and two black ladies, I guess they're about 35, 40 years old. Well, Mr. Anderson come in the front door there, went back. What are you doing back here? I said, I'm going to marry the president of Delta Airlines. I said, Richard, I'm going to marry his mother-in-law, and then maybe I can get up there. I've got all these mileage and all these upgrades, but you can't upgrade that flight. They've got them beds in first class. It's just like laying down in a coffin. You push a button, buddy, and your seat goes down to the seat in front of you, and you go right back, and they give you a nice pillow. It's already in cellophane. You take it out, and then they got you a nice sheet in it. And I walked in last week, Pastor, and so that one of the girls said, don't get too accustomed to that seat there. I said, would you hang my coat up in first class? I'm going on 3 million miles with them. I write them almost $100,000 worth of checks every year. And so they're trained to recognize a million milers, and I'm going on 3 million. And just before it took off, they shut the door. They said, come on, go up here, get in 7J in first class. You know, I went up there and sat down there. I prayed. I've already asked, Lord, he wouldn't make me mad. He'd give me another one tomorrow. I was supposed to be in the coach. And I sat down and pushed that button. Just didn't imagine just going right back in your head, laying right there, just like in a coffin. And laying that. And when I wrote those two girls, I keep thinking, Lord, I wrote them a thing. I wrote them both. I said, here's a thank you note. And it read, thank you for taking care of an old man. You've been very nice to me. Enclosed $100 bill. I give both of them $100 bill. I haven't seen them. Didn't know them, you know, their name, but they knew who I was. It's on a, see, they got every passenger, they got your name on the list, and the captain gets a copy and see if he recognizes anyway. But I give them $100 piece. I've got two more $100 bills too, if they'll do that again tomorrow. I don't know who's going to be on it, the flight attendant. I don't know, how'd you get me off on that? Okay, I was talking about leaving a good reputation for your children. Okay, the men. Now, ladies, I'm going to ask you a question. If you had 30 days to live, what would you say to your husband? What advice would you leave for your children or grandchildren? Huh? What would you say? I'm going to give you some thoughts this morning. I want to discuss a man this morning that was just dying. He didn't have a few days left, a few weeks. And what he did in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, his name was David. David was dying. God already told him. He died in 29 verse 46, I think. God already told him, warned him, he's dying. He called his son Solomon together, and he began to tell Solomon what to do. The instructions. Now, therefore, we can learn from what David did to Solomon and see what Solomon did. Believe it or not, the children will listen. You live the example for them. Okay, now, in chapter 28 of 1 Chronicles, to skip all the reading of the scripture down to verse 4, I'll tell you about it. David got all of his armies together, all of his generals all together, and told them, got them together for a meeting. And then David said in verse 4, look here, howbeit the Lord God of Israel chose me before all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. He has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, house of thy father, among the sons of thy father. But what he said here, David said, he chose me before all the house. You know, David had seven brothers. And when Samuel was looking for somebody to anoint, there had all these big robust men come in like that, and Samuel said, that'd be the one. Said, man looks on the outward heart. I look on the inward. God looks, sees the heart. And he chose a 17-year-old boy and anointed him to be king over Israel. Then later on, he became king, but after he killed Goliath and some things of that nature. Now, when I read something like that, Pastor, in the Bible, I'm studying, he said, why did God choose David? And he says why in the last sentence or two in verse 4. He liked me to make me king over Israel. That's the last 8 or 10 words of verse 4. He liked me. Now, I want to find out. I'm not very smart. But when I find out that God liked somebody, I want to find out what he did. And if I can do what he did, then God can like me. Does that make sense? Huh? I want to find out what he did. And so, the only thing I can find out about David, by the way, about the young people, let me tell you. You who are with your dad and mother or something, he like, I can only find two things about David he did. God told him, said, now you take those sheep and you go out here and he's with them all night long. Now if you find a cave at night, you put the sheep in there, the lambs inside, build your fire outside and not let the bears and the lions, not let them get my sheep. And he doesn't say he argued with that. He went. He might have had some people with him, but it doesn't say. I think he'd have some servants with him. As a young boy, just a teenage boy, he's out there all night long. One other time he said, I want you to take some groceries down to your brothers about the Philistines. And he said he rose early and went. He never argued with his daddy. Only thing I can find about him, he obeyed his parents. And young people, let me tell you something. If you don't learn to obey mom and daddy now, let me talk to the young ladies first. If you don't learn to obey mom and dad, be a church, when you get married, you won't obey your husband. And you won't have two or three babies and children, and you cost your husband too much trouble. And if he's a man, he may just leave you and let you take your kids back to grandma and your mother and raise them. Because you're going in subjection. If you're not going in subjection to your husband and loving what the Bible says and serving, so there's a day. That's why you ought to learn in young men. I had a young man that went to work for me one time. I had a store and I vacuum and around. And I saw the girl and said, you tell him, I said, the vacuum. I was out in the office way back. One time I said, the vacuum, I'll be out in a minute. She come back in there and he said, he doesn't vacuum at home and he's not going to vacuum here. I said, I'll be out in a few minutes. I went out and I took the vacuum cleaner and I plugged in. I said, come here, Junior. I wandered all around. I won't ask an employee to do anything I won't do. I vacuum it. I said, now you go home right now. You get out of my office right now. Don't you ever come back in here. With an attitude you got, I don't need you. See, he had not learned to obey dad and mama. If you don't learn to obey dad and mama, young men, then you don't obey your foreman. You never get promotion. And you might as well right now go down and get your job at McDonald's 8 or 9. That's as far as you're going to go. With that kind of an attitude, you're not going anywhere. There's a ship on you. You better learn to obey dad and mama. Now, what would you say? What would you say to them? Now, here's what David, what he said. Now, verse 5, I'm going to read a little bit. And so David's talking to his son, Solomon. And of all my sons, for the Lord to give me many sons, he's chosen Solomon. You know why he said that? Solomon had brothers that was trying to take over the king. In fact, they came to Bathsheba. The prophet did and said, Nathan. Said, Bathsheba, you better go see David right fast. Said, one of his brothers, Donadad, or someone of them up there, he's already got some men up there, got hired them at, and he says he's going to become king. Said, you go tell right now, you go tell David, and then I'll back up when you're talking to him. And she did. So then, he let it be known. He said, now, God chose Solomon to try to quiet that down, and later on, Solomon killed some of them. God told him now. He disobeyed. It's a long story, I'll skip that part. I'll start at 5 again. And all my sons, for the Lord God has given me many sons, God hath chosen Solomon my son upon the throne of the kingdom of the Lord of Israel. And he said to me, Solomon, my thy son, he shall build the house of my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Now look verse 7. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments this day. See, every promise that God makes to you, now he puts a little condition to if. If you will obey me, this is what I'll do for you. If you disobey me, if you give me tithes and offerings, 10% of you, I'll come. And so it'll be two mites, one moment I'll give them up. This is what I'm going to do you. Will a man rob God? Yet you're wherein? Tithes and offering. So all God's promised a blessing upon you. I'll open the winds of heaven and pour you out a blessing. You'll not be received. You might not be able to receive. But here, I'm preferring a sermon like being in God's perfect will, His permissive will. A lot of Christians live in His permissive will, not His perfect will. And he said here now, verse 8, he said, now therefore in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience for God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God. Now here's what he's talking to his son, and telling him to serve God. Look at verse 8, now about the middle way, that ye may possess the good land, and leave it for inheritance to your children. In other words, if you are interested, I can put it in first person. If you will serve God and teach your children right, that's an inheritance that you can leave, for it is an inheritance for your children after you forever. Now look at verse 9. He's talking to his son and telling him, now I'm going to die pretty soon. Now you're going to take over. And thou, son, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, with a will of mind. If you notice there, he said in verse 9, thou, son, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Hey, my God. You know, I count it a great honor to go to the window and look up, oh God, thou art my God. Early life, hey, thou art my God. What an honor it is to say, I'm a child of God. Amen. Boy, that's a great honor. That's a shout. What a privilege it is. A lot of people say they I'm the son of the president or someone like that. Or I'm the son of some billionaire, I know. Donald Trump's children look like they followed. He did a pretty good job. Anyway, looked like he raised his children the way it is on television, all of them. But that's my dad. My dad's talking. Thou, Solomon, my son, nine, know the God of thy father and serve him. Now look, son, if you're going to govern God's people, you're going to be the king now, you've got to serve him. You want you to serve my God. He keeps referring back to his God, and that's what I'll tell my children today. My God, what he done. And serve him with a perfect heart, with a will of mind, for the Lord searches all the hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thought. If, there's that big word, Lynn, biggest little word in the Bible, if thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if you forsake him, he'll cast you off forever. That's warning, isn't it? You warn your children, just like now. Now, son, your dad's have right to say it. You get it. Now, if you don't obey me and be in subjection to me, right here, God will not give you his best for you. If you want God's blessings upon your life, you better learn to obey daddy. You better decide to serve to God. You better go to church with me. And what you better serve him the way I have. Now, verse 10, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house of the sanctuary and be strong in it. And then I'm not going to, of course, now he tells him he's going to build a temple. And David wanted to do it because he's a man of war. He did not. And also he says, verse 20, and I'm going to skip a lot of it because of time. And David said, you ought to study this tonight yourself. You ought to get along and study it. Chapter 27, 28, 29. And David, verse 20 of 28. And David said to Solomon, my son, be strong of good courage and do it. Fear not, be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God. See, again, he keeps referring to my God. I can tell my children what my God did to me. I've got letters in here that said from my daughters and such, that said, Dad, sometimes we have face some hard decisions. And I've got some hard things going right now with our children and that. One girl wrote me one time, said, Dad, so I'd get my bedroom ready again. I didn't realize how good I had it. I'm moving back in the home. And so, God will be, and I've got one daughter wrote and said, it's getting kind of hard here, all this responsibility I have. But in hard time, I never one time saw you throw the towel in. I saw you rolled your sleeve up. I'd go to work and I had problems, had a lot of apartments, 400 apartments. I had to have 400 air conditioners, keep men down 50, and all the garbage disposals and the kitchen sinks and the bathrooms and kids putting toys down the toilet and stopping the toilets up. One woman, you don't know how mean she talked to me 3 days straight. I said, Mom, what? I said, go down and get it off my back. She's calling me. She's letting me know she pays me rent and make her flush that commode and right in front of you, see it works. Next morning, called mad as a wet hen again. And I said, fine. After 4 or 5 days of that, I said, go down and take that toilet out and give her another. Now, I want you to break that toilet open and see what it is. He opened it and tore that toilet. It's a jar, a lid of a peanut butter jar. I said, this cost you $350, Lee. Now, you pay me, I'm going to evict you. Your child put that peanut butter jar down. I don't know how y'all phone that. And so, but now, also he is telling David. Now look here. It says in verse 12 of 29, I'm going to cut. Oh, in verse 2 of chapter 29, he tells all the gold and silver again. I'm going to skip all that because the time is, it was, Vernon McGee says it's $576 million in gold and $36,960,000 in silver. Almost $1 billion. He said, I'll give all that for the house. He told him what, see, he laid an example that he was giving money to God. You see. Then he said here, look at verse 12 of 29. I'm skipping a lot of it. He told Solomon, his son, both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all in thine house. In thy hand is power and might. In thy hand it is to make great and to give strength. And then he said, therefore, our God, we thank thee and praise thy glory name forever. And then I'm going to skip over now because of time. You have to give this. Verse 19 of 29. And give unto Solomon, my son, a perfect heart to keep thy commandments, thy testimony, and statutes, and do all these things that I have told him. Now, again, I'm illustrating the fact, men, if you had 30 days to live, what would you tell your children? But you also don't have 30. You may live be 85 like me or longer. But anyway, you need to teach your children what God has done for you. Now, if you want God's blessing, if someday you want a house and a roof over your head and a car to drive, you better follow what I'm telling you. You better serve God. And so that, and then it says here in verse 28, and he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. So therefore now he preached, he's told, he was going to die. And so I got about 5 minutes going, I'm watching, I'm getting hungry too, sort of. We go, well, I'm going to get you out in a minute. And so, I'd give $50 for a big piece of pone of cornbread and buttermilk and eggs, huh? I'll get off of that. How'd you get me off on that? No sugar in the cornbread. No. That's what started the Civil War. A Yankee put sugar in the cornbread. Here's something I've written down. I've got to read this for you. Listen. Walk a little plainer, Daddy, said a little boy so frail. I'm following your footsteps, and I don't want to fail. Sometimes your steps are very plain. Sometimes they're hard to see. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for you are leading me. I know that once you walked this way many years ago, and what you did along the way, I'd really like to know. For sometimes when I'm so tempted, I don't know what to do. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for I must follow you. Someday when I've grown up, you're like I want to be. Then I will have a little boy who will want to follow me. And I would want to lead him right and help him be so true. So walk a little plainer, Daddy, for we must follow you. And so he's going to follow you. Now, he's died. Solomon's taken over. Now, turn your Bible back a little bit to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, we're going to see what he did. Did he listen to Daddy? Sometimes you think it's falling on deaf ears. I bought my girls one time a set of earrings. And this earring here said in, and this thing right here, earring here said out. It goes in and out. It didn't go out. And I'm pretty strict, Daddy, I'll tell you that. No boy ever took one of my daughters out loaning a car and a boy or not. I may be dumb, but I'm not stupid. I know how that my children were born. And no girls, none of my daughters not going out with a boy in a car and alone. No, sir. I'm dumb, but I'm not stupid. Now, 1 Kings chapter 3. I want to see what Solomon did. It didn't go in and out. 1 Kings chapter 3, and it says, verse 3. It said, now David, Solomon is king, and Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes to David his father, only he sacrificed burnt incense in high places. Now notice what he did. He loved the Lord, walking in the statutes to David his father. He's obeying his daddy, what his daddy told him before he died. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice, for there was a great high place, 1,000 burnt offerings. You realize how long it takes to kill 1,000 lambs? That? Sacrifice. He gave 1,000 burnt offerings. Looks to me like he started practicing what his dad had given to God, right? Worshiping God. Worshiping God. Giving to God. Then in Gibeon, the Lord appeared unto Solomon in a dream by night and said, Ask what I shall give thee. All right, Solomon, now, anything you want. You just ask me. I'm going to give you anything you want. And he said, I'm going to skip some of it to get down to verse 9. Here's what he asked for. Give therefore thy... He told him, he said, my daddy's dead. David's dead. Now, I've got all the responsibility. These 12 tribes. I've got to make sure I've got enough soldiers and armor to guard our borders. And so... And I've got to make sure the food chain's coming in. He had barns and stuff, storage of food. A lot of responsibility. And here's what he asked God. Now, God, you have anything you... What would you ask for if God would ask God for, if he would give you anything you wanted? That's what he said to Solomon. Let's see what Solomon did. Verse 9, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this for a greater people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said to them, because thou hast asked this thing and not asked for thyself long life, neither you didn't ask for money for thyself, nor hast thou asked the life of thine, but hast asked for thyself to have understanding and judgment. Now, because you've asked me for wisdom, he said, I'm going to give it to you. Now, if I could tell you, I wish I'd know in heaven, maybe God has it recorded down. When this uneducated coal miner, when God put him in the business, there's 3 or 4 men going, and I had to look, I don't know if you've ever seen the blueprints of a house. How many of you saw the blueprints of a house and specifications there? Oh, you take an office building, our apartment says, say 3 or 4, 5, 6 stories, and you've got to figure out how much drywall is in there, and you've got to read the specifications. They want 2 layers here, and soundproofing there, RC 1 channel here, and you've got to figure all that out. Man, I never had to build a toilet in my life. I didn't know anything about carpenter work. And I started getting all these plans and I tried to figure out how all that. I didn't know how to do it. But I've got a God that knows how. You know how many times early in the morning I'd rise, Pastor, everyone, put my hand on that verse right here. God, you gave Solomon wisdom, now give me wisdom. I've got to have it. I asked you to let me make money so I could build you churches and stuff. Now it's over 1,500 churches. And you know, heard the reason of them. The money I feed the poor people. I live and thrive to help them. And so I don't run around with rich people. The only thing that holds them together is dough. And so my friends is working friends. I relate to the working man. And so then he says here, now... I said, give thy servant an understanding heart. Or I'd rise and study and beg God for wisdom. Do you know I never lost money on all that? A lot of times I had 50, 60 men, nailed on drywall and taping it out, sheetrock, and nailed it on. And I never did. I made money on every job I ever did. Why? I went to God for wisdom.
Yes.
So what I would teach you now, and what I teach my children, you need wisdom. Oh, one of my daughters runs a multi-million-dollar, my example, multi-million-dollar business in Texas. She had about 30 people in her office. She's overall, and 9 doctors, and she keeps it all going. The average expense ratio for doctors in Dallas is about 52% of all income to cover the rent and everything. They try to get them to join the business that my daughter runs. And she said, why should we go with you and pay you 52% when it's going to cost me 28%? She said, yeah, that's impossible. She said, would you take a CPA's accountability of it? And they looked at that. We can't touch you. They walked out. And so I tell my daughter, see, they know. And that one daughter wrote me, said, Daddy, I don't remember every time getting up in the morning at 6 o'clock in the morning, but you was in your office working, studying. We know you're in the study and praying and asking God for wisdom. That's pretty good reputation to leave your dad and her to leave your children. And what she's done, I run that multi-million. And the doctor sent she and her husband and 2 children to Italy 4 or 5 years ago, $25,000 paid all that. All right. And so it kind of looks to me like she listened and watched my dad by observation. And the children are watching. Then heard what God said. Now he said, and the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon asked this thing. And God said, and because I have asked this thing, and I already read that. Now verse 12. Now I'm going to show you how to make money now. Behold, I have done accordingly to thy words, though I have given thee a wise and understanding heart. So there is none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall arise after thee. In other words, you're the greatest king in the world. You're going to be the smartest man in the world. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did he ask for money? No. Look at verse 13. Let me teach you something. And I've also given thee that which I have not asked, riches and honor. I never asked God to bless me and make me a millionaire. The more you serve God, the more he does for you. The better we are to our wives, the better they are to us. The better you are to your employer, the better it is. Let me tell you, if your employer doesn't make money, you'll not have a job long. If you work for me and you don't make me money, you don't stay on my payroll. I learned a long time ago down in Kentucky, when a chicken quit laying, we'd have chicken and dumplings. Now, it's carried right on to my business. I've given also that which I've not. He didn't ask for riches. I didn't ask for riches. I just serve God. So if you want to get something from God, you serve him and then let God give you the rate. You want a foreman's job or something? You serve God. Let God do it. I turned Jeremiah, quoted in Sunday school, I'll put my words in thy mouth. If you ride early in the morning, that's Jeremiah 1:9, and you rise early in the morning with God, like I taught you in Sunday school, the first person you talk to in the morning, and you study the Bible, you serve God, and God will give you the words to say to that foreman to where that you'll be promoted. You see, get a promotion. One of my employees one time, I put him over a building supply business, loading and unloading of big trucks come in at Sheetrock, had forklift and that, and then load my trucks. I had trucks but material four stories high. That cost about $150,000 now. Just reach down and get a ton of drywall, 8, 10, 12, 14, put it up four stories. I went to work one morning, about 6 o'clock got there, my truck's already gone. I asked my employee, I said, Al, where's my trucks? He said, well, last evening in Ann Arbor, Michigan, we was in an alley there unloading it in an apartment building, and a bank called the police once, said we was blocking the alley that couldn't get the customer, and the police came out. You ahead and unload now, but if you come back in the morning like that, we're going to give you a ticket. He said, I told the men, when you come in this morning about 4:30 and I'll load you up and we get over there while those bankers are still sleeping, we go over there, load and get out of there even before they go into work. I didn't tell him to do that. Boy, I went around there a little bit. Man, he's interested in making money. He never asked me for money for that. I said, I want to give you a raise. And it's kept him giving me a raise and raise and raise. And I made a barrel full of money. He made me a barrel full of money. Had no big trucks putting the material up. And so I knocked on his door one night. And here's how he thinks that. It's the same way that Solomon got things out of God. That man got it out of Russell Anderson. I walked in and knocked his door one night, about Christmas time. I said, his wife wants to talk to you and your husband. He came. I said, now, your husband here's made me a good employee. I put him over this supply company. And he made me a lot of money. They had four kids. I said, that old car you're driving. I said, about rusted out. Here's your set of keys to that new station wagon. Take me back now. More they served me, the more I gave to them. More you and I serve God. Now, you men is better than this remodel. Now, I've seen evidence here. You're helping the pastor. You're helping this man here and there. Now, watch, expect God to do something for you. See, you did that because you love God. You're not for the reward. That man did that because he's thankful he had a good boss to work for. And that, but I gave him a new station wagon. Took him out of a $13,500 house and put him in a $200,000. And today it'd be $400,000. I kept giving him raises. The more he did for me, he'd go out of the way to do something for me. That's why you get something on the job. I can teach you how to get a promotion. I don't have time right now. I can teach you. I know what God's Bible says. I've been to it. I've studied it. I've spent 5 or 6 wanting God. So Solomon looks to me like, now Solomon, he did what his daddy told him to do, right? I bet there's times that he said, I don't know if I do the right thing or not. He thought, but obey God. Now, what would you say if you had 30 days to live? That's why, beloved, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, I'm going to be in church. Of course, I started that a while ago. If I'm running the wrong men, and the pastor's getting his lesson study. What did he bring? Oh, bring about being up. Watch the crowd you run with. The crowd will lead you the wrong way, and he preached on that. He not knowing he's helping me, but God knows what I'm doing. You can't hide anything from God. He knows your thoughts before you say it. Read Psalm 139. Before you ever say your thoughts, he knows what's in your tongue. You can't hide anything from God. So what do you want out of your children? Be successful? God's success. I don't have the answer to everything, but the more I serve God, the more he gave me. The more you serve God, the more he did to you. I thought about shirts like this. People ought to get employees. If I don't make this company money, I won't have a job. Imagine showing up on a shirt, what the union said about that. Now, I had the Carpenters Union, Plumbers Union, Electrical Union, Teamsters Union. I threw a book at him one day. He threw it back at me. He went right in. I said, you're not a union, man. You don't know anything about it. Running out of them shoes on that big black car sitting out there. You never get your shoes dirty. I said, you know what it is to fight for men. I was working them in. If I worked them just one day, they wanted me to pay $145 mafia fund. You know, all the benefits on. I said, what? If they slow, if work is slow. My keys there. I can't get back in my condo anymore. If work is slow, I got them on unemployment. They can draw about $200 a week unemployment. Now, the unemployment says I can let them make up to 50%. It don't interfere with the 200. If they make over 50%, over $100, then they deduct it. Now, if I was just working one day, I'm trying to do something for your men, a union men, and you're trying to take it away from them. You know I can't work a man 4 hours, 8 hours, and throw a truck, and then pay $145. I've got to work in 40 hours after that. I wouldn't do it. I said, you know what you're talking about. I got all of them. I said, you're not a union man. I used to be a union man when I worked in the United Mine, when I worked in coal mines. I was a member of the union. I said, so I went to my men. I said, well, bridge agent said I'm going to have to cut you off. I can't pay $145. But I got a thought. Anderson Supply business, Anderson Supply, they have a contract. They have a signed agreement with the Teamsters Union. Anderson Materials Incorporated does not have an agreement with the union. I'm going to let you work for Anderson Materials Incorporated. I'm going to let Anderson Materials Incorporated subtract from Anderson Supply business. They can't see my book, Nanner's material. Now, do you want to do it my way or your union way? We do it your way. See the wisdom God gave you? I didn't cry. I turned some different men, and the union there was trying to block them out. So they did it my way. I don't know how he got up me on that. But I'm illustrating the fact, what do you want to do? What would you say? Our Father, we pray your blessings upon what's been said this morning. Our Holy Spirit, this morning I was up early. Begging you to tell me what to say to the men that would help them. That. With their heads bowed now. Now, no one looking at me. How many would say, Brother Anderson, I want to be a better father. I want my sons to follow along in my footsteps. I want him to serve God the way I did. If so, with nobody looking now but me, would you raise your hand? Yes. That's it. Yes. Yes. I want my sons following in my path. My children. My daughters. And now how many boys and girls here tonight say, Brother Anderson, since you told me what all my mother did to me, it's Mother's Day, I'm going to write my mother a letter and thank her for all those diapers she's changed and all the food and all the meals she prepared for me. If you go so with the heads bowed, no one look at me, would you raise your hands, kids? I'm going to write my mom a letter. I'm going to write her. Okay, raise them up. I'm going to write her a letter. Yes, I see it. Pastor, you close.